This is the Christian Life Center weekly podcast. Visit us online at missoulachurch.com.
This week I had part of my message kind of figured out where I was going to go, a direction I wanted. I felt like the Lord wanted me to lead, in my 2 years of being here, hang on a second, we're going to try to figure this microphone thing out. So in my couple years of being here, I've never had this happen to me yet where I just felt like the Lord changed my message, that he wanted something else he wanted to share with us and lead us in. And so that's what we're going to do today. Is Pastor Brendan here? I've got a little ring in my microphone. If we could take care of that, Mr. Manny, appreciate it. But anyway, wanted to just come before you and bring that word to you this morning, what God's laid on my heart. And so I've simply titled it this morning, Pray First. And the idea that we as a church, we pray first. We go after, and that our response, the things that we do, is always to pray first in everything we do. You know, there's a culture, even in the church, that our solution to for whatever we're going through, whatever thing we face, our solution is to always look to some other direction, every direction around us first, for comfort, for support, for agreement to whatever it is that we're walking through. And not all of that is bad, right? Like, not all of that is a bad thing. But what if our first solution as followers of Christ was to pray first? Like, what if that was our solution? Like, the first thing you do in the morning is to pray first. Or before you walked into the doctor's office, you pray first. Before you start that relationship with someone, you pray first. Before you walk into your school or to your job, you pray first. Before you respond to someone or to a spouse in a way, in anger, you pray first. Before you make that decision that's before you, you pray first. It's a pray first type of lifestyle that we want to develop. In fact, I wrote it down this way. I think it's paramount, but this is the reality. Prayer should be our first response and not our last resort. Prayer should be our first response and not our last resort. Not a lot of us live as if prayer is our last resort. Like I'll go to God in prayer because I've tried everything else. Like, I've gone everywhere else, I've done everything, I've reached out for every person, and now I'll go to prayer as my last resort. And I think the reality is, no, we should switch the habit and we choose to live a God-first lifestyle. Like, as we close out, like, we're halfway through 2024, almost halfway through 2024, and I just believe that there are still habits that God wants to cultivate and develop in your life. I don't know if you know this, but 2024 is probably not going to get any easier. It's probably not going to get even any more less confusion going on in our world today. And the reality is, we as Christians, we're not fearful of that. We turn and say, well, you know what, we're going to cultivate a life where we pray first and God is first. And part of that development as a church and as you as a Christian is that we would become pray first people. And so I want to give you a message today to the Lord. Again, the Lord has totally switched me on. I was up to like 3 in the morning a few nights ago, and it just rocked my world. And many of us have been reading the Bible in a year. We've been going through that together, reading the Bible in a year. And we do this thing at our church. And if you want to jump on, you can jump on. You can grab one at our Welcome Center. It's a sheet. Tells you everything, every day, what scriptures you should be reading. And we're reading this one called Chronological Plan, which basically what that means is, like, you're reading the Bible in real time as it happened. So you could be reading one passage of scripture, and all of a sudden it switches you to Psalms, because that's when the timeline of when those things were written. And so this last week, I was reading this one scripture in our chronological, and I came across it. It's somewhat familiar, but it's an amazing passage, and it challenged me because it's one of the most influential prayers that have ever been prayed. And this prayer, it's the type of prayer that will sustain you, that will impact your life, right? It's a prayer that really you find in a really obscure part of the Bible. Like you almost have to, it almost has to jump off the page to you. It's really hard to find in this really obscure part of the Bible. And many of you, if you've been around church for a while, you know this prayer, but it's simply a prayer called the Prayer of Jabez. The Prayer of Jabez. And we find it in 1 Chronicles, Old Testament, and it's a real interesting passage because it's in the middle of about 500 names. Like all these names that are written in the Bible, you find them all written there, just this person, that person. Now, if you read the Bible, let's just be honest, you eventually get to these types of passages where it's like, this person begot this person, and that person begot this person, and it just goes on and on. And we look at that and say, what's the purpose, right? Like, why do I need to read those things? If we're all being honest, we're probably like, I'm just going to skim over that really quickly. Like, I can't even pronounce half these names. Why do I need to know them, right? And we kind of just skim over. We all do that. And I wish we could say, well, we take the time. We study who that person is. But nah, we don't do that. But once in a while, one of those names that you're reading stands out. And it's really interesting. And it just comes up at those moments, if you try reading the Bible, where it just comes up where God will speak to you through something you're reading and even through a name. And Jabez is one of those. One of those names. And I just want to challenge you today. It's easy in our life to think that you're just one of those 500 names. That you're just, your life is meaningless. You don't have a lot of purpose. I'm really not that important. I did a quick research this week, this morning on planet Earth, right now, there are 8,086,505,115 people alive today. That's a lot of people. And we thought we were special, right? Like you think you're special. And we can think, that's a lot of people, and we can think like Jabez, where we are just one of those numbers. Like there's no way that I can stand out in the midst of 8 billion people. And I want to show you that Jabez, in the middle of the numbers, learned to stand out. Like he learned to do something significant with his life. And we all have those moments where we think we're special. Come on, you've been there. Don't act all humble. You've been in those places where you think you're special, and then we realize that we're really just a number. Like I remember years ago, like I was a district youth director for our denomination, and one of the things we get to do is this amazing thing called youth convention where we get thousands of teenagers in a room. And we're new, and so we're like, man, we're going to switch this thing up. And we took it to Providence, Rhode Island, the big city, brought it into the big convention center, the big hotel, and we're doing all these things. And so, listen, I'm the guy. Like, I'm the head dude. And, like, I'm the one who's got to make the final calls and make the decisions, and we're going through all these things. And yet I had my admin, who also was working alongside me, relaying messages. And I remember, like, so we go to an on-site visit at the convention center at the hotel, and my wife's with me. And I remember we walk in this room at the hotel, and there on the table was this plate. And on this plate was, like, some grapes and, like, some oranges, maybe a pear or something. It was just this beautiful little fruit basket. And I remember walking out of the room, and I came across my admin who was on the trip. And she goes, wow. She goes, I go, man, did you see my room? She goes, you got to see my room. She's like, I go, oh, yeah, we got to. Grapes. And she's like, no. I got, like, chocolates, cake, champagne. We don't even drink champagne. Like, she had this basket that was like this, and I had this plate that was like this. And I'm like, I'm the man. I'm the one. Why are you getting all this stuff? Like, I don't know about you. Have you ever noticed that God has a way of humbling us very quickly? Just having a way, when you think you're special, that God just brings you down a couple notch. And Jabez had that moment where he's in the middle of these 500 names, and he does something that sets him apart. And it will set your part alive as well. Listen to what it says. 1 Chronicles chapter 4, verse 9. And it says this, Jabez was more honorable than his brothers. Now, let's just pause for a second. Some of you, if you've been here today and you haven't had kids or you have more kids to come and you've thought about kid names, or if you're like some of us who have had kids, maybe there's a time in your life where you're like, man, if I had to do it over again, I would give my kid a different name, right? Like my son, right? Like my wife and I, we had this agreement where like, She names it if it's a girl. I name it if a boy. How many know that didn't work out that way? Like, and I was like, man, when I had a son, you know, I wanted his name to be Colt. Like, how cool is that? Colt McCoy, right? Like, and she's like, no. I'm like, but this is my, I get to do this. No, we're not naming him Colt. So we named him Braden. Go figure that. So, right? And I'm like, man, we had to do it different. I know some of us think, like, today's day and age, we got to have a cool name, right? Like, if you want, and you have a baby, you want it to be the coolest name that you could ever have. Like, you know, Jagger or Rocket or whatever you want to name your kid, right? Because that's just the way we do things. Jabez, you might think to yourself, well, that's a really cool name. Let's name our kid Jabez. Well, let me tell you what Jabez means. Look what it says in the rest of the scripture. Jabez was more honorable than his brothers, and his mother named him Jabez, saying, I gave birth to him in pain. That's his name. Like, his name literally means, Jabez, the Hebrew meaning, it'll be on the screen, simply means this, sorrowful, born in pain. Sorrowful, born in pain. There must have been something traumatic, some event that happened in Jabez's life that his mother looked at him and said, this is what you will be known for. That the rest of your life, you'll be known as sorrowful and born in pain. And he had a moment where some kind of event, this event would now define him for the rest of his life. Church, listen, one of the greatest mistakes that people do in our lives is that we make our issues our identity. We look and we've been through some things, or we going through some things, and we look at our traumas, we even look at our temptations, and we say, well, that's who I am. That's what I am all about. It's a tactic this morning of the enemy to get you to believe that what you've gone through or what you've deal with is who you are. It's an absolute lie. You are not your issues. You are not your mistakes. You are not your temptations. You are who God says that you are. And last I checked, God calls us a new creation in Jesus Christ. You're a new creation. And we have to believe who God says that we are. And so Jabez has this moment where he's being raised in pain, raised in heartache, raised in struggle. Think about this. He's raised his whole life with everyone knowing the meaning of his name. Sorrowful, born in pain. So what do you do when your life is filled with pain? What do you do? Listen, if you're taking notes, this is it this morning. Here's what you do with your life is filled with pain. The solution to pain is prayer. The solution to pain is prayer. There's a moment where you have to understand that pain is the great indicator that it's time for you to pray. The pain is the great indicator that it's time for you to pray. Like if you have pain in your body, pray. If you have a hard time making a decision, you pray. If you're having pain in a relationship, you pray. If you're battling pain in your mind today, then you pray. If you're wrestling with finding purpose for your life, then you pray. If you're facing a decision or a direction that you need to make, you pray. Let your pain drive you to prayer. Let your hurt drive you to prayer. Let your doubt and confusion lead you to pray. How about this one? Let your stress and the struggles that you're facing be the thing that leads you to the one who can absolutely help you with that. It's called prayer. And Jabez knew this, right? In fact, he knew that what God said in the word, Psalms 147, he says this, that God heals the brokenhearted and he binds up their wounds. Jabez knew this. And I don't know what you run into in life right now. I don't know what you're experiencing in life, but let me challenge you with this. Let your pain bring you to prayer. Let it bring you to prayer. And that's what Jabez did. So look what he goes on and says. He says, Jabez cried out to the God of Israel. Now again, let's pause for just a moment because I skipped over this when I read this for the first time, but I want you to notice the passion that's in this verse. Notice the desperation, right, that comes from this. This wasn't like some distinguished prayer like, thou, O God, holy one in heaven, you know? Like this was literally, he's crying out, going right to the point, O God of Israel. Like he's laying out. He didn't just pray to anybody. He prayed to the God of Israel. And can I just set the record straight? Because we get caught up in this today in our world. Listen, it's not, we're not praying to Mother Earth. We're not praying to like some God, just give me this good feeling and this good energy. In fact, I would even go out and say a little bit, we're not even praying to the big man upstairs. That's not who we're praying for. We come to God Jehovah, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the one who is and is to come. We go to the one who sent his son for you. We go to the God who answers our prayers. And Jabez knew this. He goes on, he says, listen, Jabez cried out to the God of Israel, oh, that you would bless me and enlarge my territory. Let your hand be with me and keep me from harm so that I will be free from pain. And God granted his request. Look at that last part. God granted his request. I don't know about you this morning, but I want to pray prayers where God grants my requests, where God answers me. And so I love this scripture because there are four prayers that jump out to this passage that I want us to learn from today. Four things that I think will set you up for success and live at a greater level than you've ever experienced in your life. I want you to look at the first prayer. He says this, prayer number one, oh, that you would bless me. Oh, that you would bless me. This is the first prayer he prays, and this simply is just a prayer of blessing. This is just a prayer of blessing. And I want to help you today because we mess this up all the time. We mess this up with the weirdness of Christianity. Like, we're Pentecostals, right? And we can be weird, right? And I can say that because I'm one of them, right? We can just be weird, and we mess this up sometimes. Like, we've made blessing awkward. In other words, like, well, you know, if you do this and God will do this, like we formalize everything. Well, you know, if you send me this, then God will do this. And can I just say to you, that's not okay. That's not the idea of God's blessing. But let's be very careful also. Let's be very careful not to throw out the reality that God does want to bless your life. God wants to bless your life. God wants you, your life, blessed. In fact, the Hebrew meaning of this word blessing simply means this, supernatural favor, abundance. Supernatural favor, abundance. And there is this twisted thinking that God is, get this morning, that God is most pleased with us when we are the most miserable. Like that's when God's really happy with you, is when you are just unhappy, right? We get this idea, well, God must be really working in my life because I'm miserable. This is not who God is. Well, you're broke, you're sad, you're sick, and God's in heaven going, good, great, I got them right where I want them to be, right? That is wrong. That is not what God wants for your life. God wants to see your life in abundance, in favor, in blessing. Every area of your life, he wants you to be able to say, I am blessed. You know, we use this word, we've heard this word called prosperity, and there's actually a meaning behind it. And we've totally distorted this word prosperity, and we've turned people off because we've misused it. So I want to tell you, what does it actually mean to prosper, to have prosperity? I think it's this. I think it's when you've done everything that you can do, like we have limitations. And I think prosperity is like when you've done everything you can do and it stops there, that's when God comes in and he pushes your life to a whole nother level. Because you have limitations, but God has no limitations. And he wants to take you to a whole different level. And when you look at of what God's doing in his people and how God's blessed their lives, and you see people around you, and you're like, man, listen, man, they're good. They're awesome. Look how God's just blessed in their life. If I could just have God bless my life, if I could just have God bless my life, I'm just telling you, you need to know something. God is good, people are good, but they aren't that good. Like God is the one who blesses us. I'm telling you what God's doing at our church here at Christian Life Center, we're good. Our staff is good, but we aren't that good, right? I was here Friday night, and we hosted a banquet here for seniors from Valley Christian, and so we're here, and they're cleaning up. And I remember I was walking out those doors there, taking something out to a car, and there were some people in front of me, three or four of them. They don't know who I am. They don't know I was the pastor here. They don't know nothing, And they're I can hear them talking. And this is the conversation that's happening. There's one lady says, man, this church is just beautiful. What a beautiful church, you know? And then the next one says, yeah, but not only that, there's something peaceful about this place. Like, there's just something comfortable and family feeling when you walk in these doors. And I'm walking behind it with a grin on my face, right? And then I come back in, and one of the ladies recognized me as the pastor, and she's like, thank you for letting us use your facility. I said, oh, absolutely, anytime. And then she goes, but I just want to say something. There's a presence here. Like, there's, it's comfortable, they're peaceful here. And I said, it's all me. No, I didn't say that. No. I literally looked at her and I said, it's God. It's all God. It's God's blessing on this place. We're good, but we're not that good, right? Like, have you seen my wife? Like, I'm good, but I'm not that good, right? It's a blessing, right? I was a BC student in college. Hey, where are my C students? Any of my C students in the house? All right, three of us. Come on, man. Right? The rest of you are nerds. So I did really good in my master's degree, by the way, just so you know that. I wasn't always dumb. But anyway, over my years of ministry, I've had people say to me all the time, like, man, you're just so smart, or like, you're so creative. And I smile thinking to myself, I have no idea what I'm doing. Like, I'm good, but I'm not that good, right? And I can only go this far. You can only go this far. But thank God that his blessing comes and sends us to a whole nother level. That his blessing's in our life. And that's why David writes it in Psalms 5. He says, surely, surely, Lord, you bless the righteous. Surely, Lord, you bless the righteous. You surround them with your favor as with a shield. Like, if I were here, if I could say something to you this day, if I could challenge you for the remainder of this year, can I deposit this to you? I would wake up every morning and say, God, bless my life. I'd wake up every morning, God, bless my family. Bless my finances. God, bless my church. God, bless my health. God, bless everything that I put my hand to. But here's the difference. The truth of the scriptures, right? I wish we could just leave it there that God wants to bless you, and he does. But here's the truth of the scripture. If you're going to pray for God's blessing, God always responds with usually an area of your life that is out of order, that needs to be corrected, so that you can get his blessing. In fact, I wrote it simply this way. How many know blessing follows order? Blessing follows order. It always does. Right? It's interesting to me when people say, God, I just want you to bless my finances. Just bless my finances. And God responds, do you tithe? Do you live on a budget? Like, do you actually have a budget for your life? God responds, are you being a good steward of the finances that I've already given you? Like, many times we want that, right? We don't want all that stuff. We just want the blessing. God, just give me the blessing. Like, we're like, God, help me lose weight. And God's like, salad, right? You're like, no. Can we do it differently than that, right? There's got to be, can I eat whatever I want? And, you know, we want that. God, bless my relationships. I just want better relationship. And God's like, is it a good relationship? Like, hear me this morning. We want the stuff. We just don't want his system. We want the stuff. We just don't want his system. And how many know his blessing always follows his ways? Always follows his ways. We do it his way, we get his blessings for our lives. That's why Jesus said it, right? In Matthew 6, but seek first his kingdom. He didn't say seek second his kingdom. He didn't say seek last his kingdom. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. So how do we get God's blessing? We get in alignment with his order. We pray first. Listen to me. Your greatest desire this year, I'm just challenging you, your greatest desire this year should be God's first in my life, God's first in my family, God's first in my schooling, God's first in my finances, he's first in my health. God is first in every area of my life. Because when the order is right, guess what? The blessings come. The blessings come. And we're going to pray today that God would bless us and allow him to speak to you. Here are some things this morning. We're going to pray that you need to put in alignment so that you can really have God's blessing. So here's what we're going to do this morning. God deposit this in my heart. We're going to do something we don't normally do on Sunday mornings during this time. But you know what we're going to do? We're going to stop right now. I'm going to ask Gabby to come. And we're going to pray for God's blessing right here in this service. Right at this moment, Gabby's going to come, and if you want to receive this morning, I pray that as she prays, that you would open your heart and mind to receive God's blessing for your life. You ready to do this together? Come on, let's pray right now. Let's do it.
Would you just close your eyes and lift your hands and just receive this blessing from the Lord. Holy Spirit, I just pray favor upon your people. I pray blessing upon each and every one of us, every individual, every home, every family, every marriage, friendship, every job, God, every business, Lord, every future promise or dream maybe that some of us have in our hearts. I just pray blessing over your church today, God. I come against, Lord, any curses that we might have said out of our own mouths over the things in our lives, Lord, over the church, God, over our families, over maybe even over some of the things that are just deep down in our hearts, things that we want to pray for, but sometimes we can get caught up in disappointment. And so, Lord, I just come against disappointment. I come against just any words that we've spoken ill over ourselves or over the people around us. And I just pray that blessing, speaking out blessing and receiving blessing would be at the forefront of our hearts, because it's at the forefront of your heart, God, as our Father, to pour blessing out onto your children. So I pray today that we would see you rightly. We would see you for who you are, a father who loves and desires to bless his children.
Come on.
In Jesus' name we pray.
Come on. Amen. Amen. Let's go. Receive that blessing this morning. The second thing he prays for is he prays, enlarge my territory. Enlarge my territory. Now, we might think and maybe feel that that is a selfish prayer. Like that's just selfish to ask God to enlarge my territory. And I just want to encourage you, it's not selfish, because that's not what this prayer is about. When he prays, enlarge my territory, it's a prayer of growth. It's a prayer of growth. And we need help with this, because here's the reality. God wants your influence to grow. He wants your business or your job to grow. He wants your future to grow. He wants your family to grow. He wants your network, your relationships, your impact to grow. Why? Because as we grow as Christians, as we become firmer in our faith, you are now taking back territory that the enemy owned. You're taking it back. The enemy hates it when God's people grow. He does. Satan hates it when you grow. He hates it when we come together and say, we're going to expand our territory. Like, he hates it when Christians decide to get out of their comfort zones and decide to go at a deeper level within their relationship with Jesus. Because the enemy is okay. Let's face it. He's okay with people living in comfortable Christianity. Like, he's fine with that. He's fine with the fact that you're probably even here this morning. He's fine with you just going through the motion. But what he is not fine with is that when we get mobilized and get ready to take back territory from him. And if you want to experience an all-out attack, try advancing the kingdom of God. Our team's mindset here, our pastoral team, our staff team right now, like, we talk behind closed doors. We are talking about it. We know that our church is going to double and triple in size. Like, we know that. And you know why we know that? Because more means more impact. More means more we can do. And we don't want to become stagnant or happy with the status quo. Why? Because we believe that our calling, that our success is on the other side of our comfort zone. Listen to me, your calling, you want to go do something great? You want to be better than you are now? Your calling is right on the other side of your comfort zone. And if we will learn to grow, if we will be determined to grow closer and deeper with God, new territory will always open before you. And I just want to challenge you, let's do things God's way. Let's go all in, and let's just watch and see how these territories begin to open before us. Listen, there's too many Christians just grumbling and complaining about the cultural climate out there. Let's stop grumbling and complaining. Let's pray first. Like, let's be determined, like, to strengthen our faith. And as we do that, God will open amazing territory before us. And so let's just live in a way where we just, our example, our lives show and produce the love of Christ. And as we show the love of Christ, it advances and we begin to see amazing new territories open. Not because we are cutthroat, not because we are competitive. Listen, not because we are political or we demand that someone picks a side. That is not who we are. No, because we do it because we trust in him. We love him, and we know that he will lead our lives. And as we grow deeper with him, he will lead us to take new territories for him. Paul writes it this way in 2 Corinthians. He says, you will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. This is why God wants us to grow, so we can be generous. And our generosity leads to thanksgiving to God, which the end result is, guess what? People turning their lives to Jesus, giving it to him. Some people have said, well, why are you so excited, Pastor? Like, I have heard people say this to me. Why are we just so excited for new things and new people? Like, shouldn't we just be content with what we have? We got a good thing going here. Like, why? Well, shouldn't we just be content with what we have? Hear me. You know why we are excited for new things and new people? Because every new thing and every new person, we are taking back territory that the enemy has stolen. We're taking it back. And I'm just done. I'm just done with the enemy holding ground in Missoula County, the Bitterroot, and beyond. We are going to take it back for the glory of God. Not in a militant, argumentative way, but simply because we choose to grow deeper in our love and faith for Jesus. We are Christian Life Center. We are CLC. We are going to bring the light of Christ into dark places to do what God has called us to do. And listen to me, don't get this wrong. Some of us think, well, I wish it was just more about me. Like I like my church. I want it to stay the way it is. And I would just encourage you, if that's your mentality, you are missing the mission. You're missing the mission. The mission is to seek and save that which is lost. That's what our mission is. We are to stay on mission. And as we stay on mission, guess what God does? He increases our territory. Like, so I'm going to challenge you for the rest of 2024 to pray for many things. But this morning, quickly, I want to challenge you to specifically pray every day. Would you join me, join us, and pray for three things specifically every day? So I want to give you on the screen real quick three prayers for CLC that I'd ask you to stand behind us and pray for these three things every day. Here's the first one. Would you be willing to pray for your pastors and staff every day? Like, we need your prayers. We want your prayers. Like, many times, some people really don't have the understanding of the weight myself and our team as a staff carry every day. Like, there are real attacks we face every day. And I'm just telling you right now, there are way too many casualties all over the place. Men and women who fall away from God, there are too many, and I just refuse to be one of them. And so we need your prayers. We need your prayers. The second thing I'd ask you to pray every day is a word I call prosperous, that God would make us prosperous church. The resources, in other words, to advance the kingdom. Just being honest, the weight of running a church based off the generosity and obedience and kindness of people is tough. Like, I wish we could just sell widgets or something, right? So we know there's income coming in, but we're strictly operate off the kindness, generosity, and obedience of others. The weight that I carry of paying our staff, the weight of keeping the lights on, you do not want our electric bill, I promise you. The weight of covering deferred maintenance and keeping this building operational. But even more than that, the weight of supporting missionaries and ministries that we have committed to take care of. That's weight. And having the resources to do and be what God has called us to do is important. In fact, it really comes down to a weekly miracle from God. So would you pray with me that God would provide resources, that he would bring resources from places that we never thought possible? When our resources are healthy here, guess what? The kingdom of God advances. And I don't know how it's going to happen. I don't know. But I believe that God's going to make us prosperous as we pray first. I asked a successful friend of mine who pastors a church who doesn't seem to have any of these resources problems, and I said, hey, how do we build resources to advance the church and ultimately advance the kingdom of God? How do we do that? And he said to me, he goes, well, Heath, have you asked the church to pray? And I said, honestly, no. I said, no. Church, we pray first. And he says to me, what if everyone who heard this message decided to pray? Because I just believe that the God is going to make us prosperous, and you're going to raise kids and grandkids in a church that have been prayed, they have been prayed in, and they're going to have a place for generations to experience Jesus Christ because we were prosperous. The last thing I would ask you is simply this. How about would you be willing to pray for people? And you know what? Those people includes you. Like, I'm praying for you. Can we pray for one another that we would have favor, that we would have increase, that we would have growth, that you would have healing, that your brokenness would be restored, that you would be fruitful in everything that you put your hands to, that we would pray for one another, and we would pray for those who would walk through these doors that maybe haven't even walked through them yet. I pray for you every day, church. I pray this one specific prayer that God will show himself as a reality in your life every day. I pray that over you. And so let yourself commit. Let us commit to pray first so that doors will open in your life and my life. We're going to pause right now. We're going to do that. Why don't we pray? Can we take a moment? Pastor Matt's going to come. And let's take a moment right there where you are. Like, listen, I want to grow. You're sitting in this chair. You're like, I want to grow. I want to go deeper. I want to increase my territory. I want to increase my influence. I want to see God's favor in my life. We're going to pray together now. Would you receive it as Pastor Matt prays with us this morning? Come on, let's do it.
Yeah, let's do it. Father, we lift up Christian Life Center to you today. God, that you would increase the territory of our church. Father, yes, not for our own personal advancement, God, but unashamedly, we pray this prayer because, Lord, we know it is for your kingdom's advancement. Lord, we pray that you would equip and empower us as your body here at CLC to reach your arms out into this community and to rip lost people from the gates of hell. God, we pray blessing over Christian Life Center's reach and influence. And Lord, we just pray that as you come behind us, God, that as you equip and empower us to do what you're calling us to do as a church body, that the city of Missoula would look different in the coming years. God, that this would be a place that is known where the light of the gospel is shared and welcomed. Sir. And Father, that you would just place your hand of honor, and Lord, that your glory would just be shown miraculously. God, I just pray that as CLC and as the people of CLC are pouring out, and that we are trying to be the hands and feet of Jesus in the area around us, God, that you would pour into us. Lord, that you would help us in our own personal walk with you, God, through the accountability of the brothers and sisters alongside of us, God, to be challenged to grow deeper in relationship with you, God, that we would take ownership of our faith, Lord. And that personally, Lord, we would strive to increase our territory in our own personal lives, knowing, Lord, that you are going to bless the church.
Yes.
And Father, we pray, Lord, most of all, that we would not be a church body that has lost its saltiness, but God, that in this community, Lord, that we would be sensed and felt for the advancement of your kingdom. God, that people would look to CLC and know that this is a church that has the hand of God on it. This is a church where miracles take place. This is a church where the lost are found. And Lord, that this is a church that can impact eternity. God, we are not focusing on the past, but Lord, we are looking forward with expectancy to what you are going to do through Christian Life Center in the future. We love you and we praise you. And everyone said,
amen. 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 All right, let's wrap this. Let's get ready to wrap this up. So the third prayer, he prays his third prayer and he says, let your hand be with me. Let your hand be with me. Now that might sound like an awkward statement. What does that mean? Let your hand be with me. Well, throughout the scriptures, the hand of God was synonymous for this one amazing word. It was synonymous with the presence of God. This is synonymous. So what he's praying is, let your hand be with, let your presence be with me. His presence is with us. And we need God's presence in our life. Like if you're gonna pray a prayer of blessing and you're gonna put your life in order, if you're gonna pray a prayer of growth and God gives you new opportunities, then guess what? You're gonna need the presence of God in your life. That same spirit that raised Christ from the dead that dwells inside of you is that same presence that wants to lead you everywhere you go. Luke writes it in Acts 11. He says this. He goes, there was these men from Cyprus and Cyrene, right? And they went to Antioch to begin to speak to Greeks also. And look what it says, telling them the good news about the Lord Jesus. And then I love the statement, the Lord's hand was with them, and a great number of the people believed and turned to the Lord. So they went out of their comfort zones, out of their area to advance the gospel. And guess what? The Lord's hand was with them. You want to thrive in your life? That's what you pray. God, I need your hand in my life. I need your presence. I need your hand on my family. I need your hand on my job. I need your hand on my schooling. I need your hand in my life. There was this Old Testament figure who has this really cool name. If you want to name your kids something, name them this. It was this really cool name called Zerubbabel, okay? Name your kid that. It'll be fun. Zerubbabel. And he was this guy who was commissioned to rebuild the temple that was destroyed in the Old Testament. And this guy, like, so he shows up on the scene, and he see, you know, there was this beautiful temple. In his mind, he's probably thinking, man, I'm going to go be part of advancing this beautiful temple. And he shows up on the scene, and this temple is totally destroyed. And Zerubbabel gets there, and he sees the ruins, and he's so, like, overwhelmed. How am I going to do this? And there was this amazing challenge that Zechariah writes in chapter 4, and he says this, "This is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel. Not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord Almighty." The project won't be done by might. There are no militaries going to step in and take it over. It would not be done by power. There's no political world that will make this happen. It will be done by my presence, says the Lord Almighty. Listen, church, this morning, can I prophesy over your life? What God is calling you into will not happen because of your great strength. It won't happen because you're strong enough. It won't happen because you're smart enough. It won't happen because you're liked enough. It will happen, whatever God's calling you to, it will happen because the presence of God is on your life. Not by might, nor by power, but by his spirit, says the Lord. I wrote down this way. It's a great thought. I believe this. The purpose on our lives cannot be fulfilled without his presence in our lives. The purposes on your life will never be fulfilled without his presence in your life. We just simply need his presence, and we need it daily. This morning, like we've got to learn. We got to go back to the basics of faith that just says, you know what? I've got to learn to depend upon God. A prayer that says, help me to live and act accordingly to your spirit that lives inside of me. Before I even walked into this stage this morning, I was praying on my knees, asking God, listen, I'm not good enough. We're not good enough. I don't want to just do enough. I want to be dependent upon your spirit to lead me and to guide me. Hear me this morning. It is pointless without his presence. And here's the good news. His presence is not for just certain people. It's for all of us. Parents, you can't raise them without God's presence in your life. Grandparents, you can't impart wisdom without God's presence in your life. Our relationships are shaped and molded by God's presence in our lives. We need God's presence that helps us in every area of our life. These disciples walked with Jesus for years. For years, they knew him, they saw the miracles, and yet the Bible tells us in Acts 13, this is what it says, that the disciples were continually filled with joy and with his Holy Spirit. So here's the idea, right? It shows us that there's great power when you come to God. God's power dwells inside of you, and yet we still need that same power filling us every single day, every day of our lives, every day. And I don't know about you or where you stand this morning, but I really need God's presence today. I'm so thankful for what God did yesterday. I really am, but I need his presence today. I need his presence in my life today. You need his presence to overcome whatever is attacking you. You need his presence to walk in victory in your mind. You need God's presence every day for every decision that you have to make. And we pray, let your hand be on my life. And this morning, I want to pray that for you, that God's presence would be upon your life. But not even that it would be upon your life, but that you would desire God's presence on your life. Because that's really where it comes from. So I've asked Pastor Britton real quick this morning as we get ready to close out to lead us in a quick moment of, God, would you give us your presence? Would you join me in this prayer?
Holy Spirit, we just acknowledge you right now. You you are God. You are here.
Yes, Lord.
And so we pray that your presence would just be felt all across this room, and that you would just begin to stir something in each and every one of us, that we would feel your presence right now, that maybe some of us don't even know what it's like to feel the presence of the Holy Spirit. But I pray that they would just begin to feel something they've never felt before, a warmth, a sensation even. And we wouldn't apologize for experiencing you, the Holy Spirit, that you would just come on us and begin to stir a hunger in our hearts, a hunger for your presence, a desire for your word, that it would spill over not just into this service, but it would continue as we leave, that it would continue into Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday and Saturday, and every single day we would have this hunger for your presence, that we would feel the hand of God on us when we wake up, when we go to bed, and every single moment in between. I pray that we would feel your hand on us during worship, during giving, during learning about your word, during the dishes, during mowing the lawn, during work, on the way home, when we spend time with our families, Lord, that we would feel your presence in everything that we do, that we would find you in every single thing that we do. Lord, don't be far from us. It's all about you.
Yeah.
So bring us back at the end of the day to that simplicity of just wanting to spend time with you, having your presence near us, that we don't want to go anywhere, and we don't want to ask for anything unless you're in it. Things in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Jabez prays this last prayer quickly. He says this: keep me from harm. Keep me from harm. It's a prayer of protection. It's a prayer of protection. I mean, there's a really real enemy, right? And he's not happy with a church that is blessed. He's not happy with a church that is growing. He's not happy with a church that is excited. But I'm telling you this, the prayer of protection that is over your life is the reality that there is real flesh that we have, and it's a real world that we live in. And that real flesh and that real world wants to distract you, divide you, destroy you, and dilute your faith. And I'm just praying for us. Like, we're praying, God, bless me. We pray that, and we can say, God, I'm so thankful that you blessed me. And we can pray, God, I want to grow, and I want to experience growth. And we're just so thankful because it's about you. It's not about us. As we experience his power in our lives, we are just so thankful for all those things. But it leads us to this one prayer. Please, God, don't let me be another casualty that screws this whole thing up. Like, we need to live with the fear of God inside of us. That, God, I want to do this thing right. I want my prayer, keep me from harm. God, don't let me be the one that messes this thing up. In other words, like, don't lead me into temptation. I want to be able to overcome. Keep me from harm. And how do we pray that? We pray, God, will you protect me by giving me wisdom in everything that I do? Like, wisdom is so different because we as Christians sometimes see wisdom as these aha moments. Like, I just want this aha moment, like there's this sign from heaven. We've all done that, right? Like, hey, if the phone rings three times, it's you, God, right? Let someone send me $5,000 today and I'll know it's you, right? What a great prayer. And that might happen for you, and that's great. And maybe, but I maybe think that we should just be praying for wisdom. And let me give you today on the screen one characteristic of wisdom. One characteristic of wisdom is learning to win fights by avoiding them altogether. So what does that mean? Like maybe that means leading us from harm might mean that God speaks to you and says, turn off the computer. Turn off, cancel the app. Change the way you think. Maybe it means for you that he's saying, maybe you shouldn't say what you want to say. Or maybe it's like, it might mean, is that relationship really healthy for you? It might mean saying, I'm going to go a different direction. I'm going to capture my thoughts versus giving into them. And you might say, well, no, Pastor, I don't like that. I mean, I was thinking more something like this bright light shines on me and it knocks me down on the floor, and that's how I know. And I would say, okay, turn off the computer. There's the bright light. Don't speak. There's the bright light. Say no. That's the bright light. How many know that's wisdom? That's wisdom. God give us wisdom. Wisdom keeps us from harm. And David said it this way, right? He said in Psalms 27, teach me your way, Lord. Lead me in straight path because of my oppressor. In other words, what David's writing, he goes, it's his way. I want some wisdom to protect my life, right? And so Jabez writes this amazing prayer, right? First Chronicles, he says again, Jabez cried out to the Lord, oh, that you would bless me and enlarge my territory. Let your hand be with me and keep me from harm so that I will be free from pain. And then look what it said at the end. And God granted his request. So thankful that we can walk into the throne room at any moment and pray first. And God of the universe has the ability to grant our request. And I hope today that you get this, that God doesn't only hear you, but he responds to you as well. I hope you're thankful for that, that he didn't just hear you, but he responds to you. Now, I thought about it. Let me just close with it. Why didn't God give him that stuff before he prayed it? Like, that's a theological bomb I'm dropping on you. Couldn't God just give him all the stuff? Why do you have to pray it first? Our Christian mentality is, well, God, you already know what I need. I mean, you are God. Like, you already know what I need. Why do I need to pray for it? You already know all my needs. Listen to me. God granted him the request only after he prayed. Why does God need to be for us to pray for it? Why does he need us to pray first? Get me this morning. Because prayer isn't about request. It's about relationship. It's about relationship. It's not like me getting my needs met. It's about you and I connecting with God. Jabez knew this. He's like, I'm going to pray it because the only way I'm going to experience God's blessing, it's not because of something that God gives me, but it's because God is with me. Like he knew the only way that my territory is going to expand is because God is with me. His hand is on my life. His presence is with me. I'm not living a life for God. Hear me, church. I'm living a life with God. We mess that up all the time. We're not living for God. We're going to live life with God. God knows that protection, that protection that I need is not some prayer that happens when we need protection, but a life where God's Spirit is always leading you and guiding you and directing you. Hear me this morning as I close with this statement. He knew that prayer is a prayer. He knew that this particular prayer was a prayer to do life with God, not just for God. When you understand that, when you get that down in your heart, you're going to see his blessing and his favor and his protection and his power operating in your life in ways like you've never before. It's not about what you can get. It's about the relationship that's built. And we pray first. Would you stand with me this morning? And I want to pray for you. So Lord, I pray this final prayer. We've had different prayers up. I pray this prayer. That God, you would grant our request. That God, you would help us to build a relationship with you. That our hearts would be knit together, man, that we would become one with you today. That Lord, you would be with us. Yes, you would bless us. Yes, you would increase our territories. Oh yes, God, that you would have your hand on our lives. But that God, you would give us a wisdom that helps us to live all these things out. That you would give us the wisdom to say, God, I don't want to just be for you, but I want to do life with you. I don't want to just check a box, but I want it to be all about you. My life completely given to you. In Jesus' name. And with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, I say this to you this morning with all sincerity. If you're here today and that last statement resonates with you, that my life has maybe been for God, but it hasn't been with God. Been doing the things for him, but I really haven't been doing life with him. And you're in this room, you're like, I just want to commit my heart. I want to commit my life completely to him. I want to make that statement today and see everything else in my life come into order. If you're here today, we're not going to embarrass you. Just right where you're sitting today, heads bowed, eyes closed. If you're here today, we want to know who we're praying for. And that's you today. I want to make a life with God. I want you to just put your hand up real quick so I can pray for you. Anyone at all? Come on, lots of hands everywhere. Come on. anyone else. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Lord, I pray for those today. Just raise your hand and say, I want to do life with God. I want him to make him everything. He is my purpose. I want to make him my reason. And so, Lord, I pray over us today that, Lord, right there where we're sitting, no matter where we are in faith, maybe we're serving you for our many years or we're just beginning, but no matter where we are on that pace, this is our opportunity to say, God, I want to do life with you. Come into my heart. Consume me. It's all you have to do right where you're sitting. Lord, I say it's simple as this. God, I want to do life with you. That's all you got to say. God, I want to do life with you. And I believe he comes into your life. I believe he comes and he exposes areas that maybe you need to get in alignment so that he can do all the things that he wants to do for you. And we're thankful for that. I know we're running over time today, but can we take a moment in this place and can we just worship him? Can the team lead us for just a moment? And can we take a moment in this house? It's amazing prayer and the obscurity of being around all this stuff could easily get lost. And I just want to tell you, there's nothing about your life that is lost on God. It might seem obscure. It might seem like I got too many other details. I got too many other things happening. But I'm telling you, God wants to jump your life off the pages and do something amazing in him. And he's worthy to be worshiped because of that. Can we take a moment, allow him to speak to you as we just sing and we just lift him up for the next 1-2 minutes? Can we just do that together? Let's worship our Lord.
Lord bless you and keep you. Make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. Lord, turn his face toward you and give you peace. Lord, bless you and keep you. Make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. Lord, turn his face toward you and give you peace.
Sing amen.
Children, may his favor be upon you and 1,000 generations and your family and your children and their children and their children. May his presence go before you and behind you and beside you, all around you and within you. He is with you. He is with you in the morning, in the evening, in your coming, in your going, in your weeping and rejoicing. He is for you. 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 He is for you.
How many of you receive that this morning? His blessing upon your life, his favor upon your life. So, Lord, we just come to you. I pray that today over your people, that your face would truly shine upon them, that you would go before them, that you would light their paths, that God, you would give each and every one of us the courage to follow you, to say yes to you, to honor you with our lives. That God, we would be a prayer first, God first movement. And say, God, we want to put you first, knowing that, God, if you are first, everything else comes into alignment. And I pray that over your church today. That as we go out these doors and we head into a week, who knows what decisions have to be made, what crises we'll face. But Lord, I pray that the blessing of the Lord would go before us, and that each and every one of us in the midst of those moments would remember that the hand of the Lord is with us. His presence rests upon us. May you increase our territories, O God. May you grant us all the things that we request, that we may be able to say that our God is the real God, the true God. And so we honor you today. We lift you up in this place. May your blessings go before us. In Jesus' powerful name, amen and amen. Can we just give it up for the Lord this morning? Thank you. Come on. Amen. Thank you for hanging in with us. We hope to see you next week, maybe throughout the week, Wednesday nights. We'd love to see you come and hang out with us. God bless you. We appreciate you and love you. Amen.
This is the Christian Life Center weekly podcast. Visit us online at missoulachurch.com.